You're listening to the How to Make Money Podcasting Podcast. I'm your host and explorer, Jace Kraft, and I invite you to join me while I explore behind the scenes of a podcaster monetizing their podcast and learn how you can too. Whether you haven't made a dollar from your podcast or you're making thousands of dollars, this episode you are listening to right now will help you explore what's possible for your podcast. Welcome to the show, everybody. I am sitting here with Dwan Bent Twyford, the host of the most wonderful real estate podcast ever. Dwan, it's great to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks, Jason. I'm so excited to be on your show today.
Awesome, awesome. Well, obviously from the title of your podcast, you can kind of get, you know, what it's about. But before we get into your journey into podcasting, just give us a brief rundown. Who's your target market or audience for your podcast?
So I teach people, what I do is I'm a real estate investor. And I do a lot of training and teaching and mentoring. So my target would really be any person that is like, you know, I'm tired of my job, or I'm buried in school debt, or I can't retire. Mm-hmm. I'd like to do a little fix and flip. And every week, Dwan tells us what to do and how we can make money and things like that. Yeah. So I'm finding that most of my listeners are like 35 to 55. Okay. Is like who's watching the most. And I think that the younger end of that are people that are like, okay, well, I want to buy a house. I got my degree. I'm working a job and I'm not making squat for money. It's not what I thought it would be. And I feel the people at the other end are like, holy cow, I'm going to be in my 60s pretty soon and I can't retire.
Yeah.
So it's like somewhere in between. Now I have, you know, younger and older listeners. But when you look at my demographics, it's like 35 to 55.
Yeah. It's I would imagine the same crowd that watches HGTV would be a listener to your podcast that wants to take that into action.
Yeah. Because on every show I teach and I do like seasons. We'll talk for, you know, a couple of months about rehabbing, just about rehabbing. And then we'll talk for a couple of months about how to like, wholesale houses. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk for a couple months about doing something called a subject two. So I dive into the topic deep enough that if someone was to just listen and then maybe they couldn't afford to buy home training programs or something, they could actually take the knowledge from the podcast and go start making money.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that was kind of my concept was like, I love to teach anyway. And I thought, hey, this is just a bigger audience, more people, I can teach and talk.
Yeah. So did you have like your business outside of podcasting? You have that before you started your podcast, or did the podcast kind of launch a business?
No, I have actually been a real estate investor for 30 years. I've been teaching at seminars and workshops and trainings for over 25. I've written 3 bestsellers. I've been on like Fox and Friends, MSNBC. I've been on all kinds of TV shows as a, you know, expert, celebrity expert, I guess is what they call me. Yeah. And my husband and I do a lot of live workshops. So we do a lot, usually, you know, maybe 20 a year. We do live workshops because I think my biggest goal is to help other people become financially free.
Sure.
Because I started off in real estate. I was a super dead, broke, single mom going through a divorce. I'd been fired from Denny's and I had no job skills, no job, no nothing. And I took a chance and got into real estate investing, which looking back, I don't know what ever possessed me to do something so bold because I literally had no experience. I didn't know what I was getting myself. I thought I was going to be like decorating houses and I was rehabbing houses. So I have built a giant multi-million-dollar business in the real estate investing, speaking at big events, all of that. And then, so I turned 62 years ago. So I'm 62 right now.
Okay. You don't look 62.
Well, thank you. I'll take that. I feel like I look pretty good. So I'm coming up on 60 and I was like, you know, and not that I was not bored, but like I've been teaching seminars for decades. And I've been like writing books for decades. And it's like, it's just kind of more of the same, but yeah. Not that I didn't love it or not happy with it. And I started listening to different podcasts and I thought, well, gosh, I could do that. I could get on. I got 30 years of experience. I could talk about real estate till the cows come home.
Yeah.
And it could just feel like a really fun, like just a fun thing for me to do, like a new chapter or something to freshly start off my 60s. And that's what I did. And now this is becoming a big thing too.
Awesome. So how long ago was the podcast then?
So I started in, let's see, so this is 20, so I guess 2019 is when I turned 60. So I launched my first one right around my 60th birthday. So about 2 years, my birthday's in February. So approximately 2 years ago from now, my very first one, it would have been around January, February, 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I did, and I really, really was nervous because I know I'm clear on what I know and what I'm teaching, but I was like, oh, I don't know, this podcast, I don't know, what if everybody hates it?
Yeah.
But I think I had the same fears everybody has. What if nobody listens? What if nobody likes it? What if everybody hates it? What if they're like, people don't like my pink hair? Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting because of your background being live seminar, you know, leading those and teaching prior to podcasting, you would think that you would have, you know, not that barrier to that fear of, will people like this? Because, you know, people are already listening to you. Whereas somebody, you know, Joe Schmo off the couch starting a podcast would be like, you know, has the same fears, but it's good to hear that you still had it, even though like you have been on, you know, these big publications and starting something new.
I actually, from the time I decided that from the day that I was like, you know what, I'm going to put out a podcast. Just like I see all the time in all these groups I'm in, it was a year before I put the first one out because I'm very confident on my skills to get up in front of a stage in front of 10,000 people and tell you all about real estate investing. I had an infomercial back in the 2000s. I sold 500,000 programs. Wow. I know that.
Yeah.
But the podcast was like, well, it's really different and there's so many hundreds of different topics and do I get lost in the mix and are people going to be like, oh, wonderful. Yeah, I know her. Hey, I've been listening to her over here because it really is like starting from scratch. And so I was really nervous and I thought about it for a really long time. I prayed about it. And I took a couple classes, a couple podcasts, like how to start your podcast. I took some classes and invested some money in the classes because I know as a real estate investor, my most successful students invested money in one of my training programs to go on to become millionaires. So I took classes for a couple months and then I was just like, you know, I'm just going to do it. Like the heck with it. The knowledge is solid and I don't know if I fit into the podcast world, but I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So I did.
So in your first 90 days of launching, if you can remember back, you know, 2 years ago, you probably had some sort of expectation of before launching. Did the first 90 days, like, did it meet your expectations? Was it a lot harder than you thought, a lot easier than you thought? Or what was that like?
You know, I think I was okay. I didn't really know what to expect because I didn't really know any other podcast people at that time. I knew a few people here and there that were doing podcasts, but I just didn't have anyone to say, like, what does your show do? And how many downloads are you getting? And so I didn't have anything to compare it to. So my first couple of months, I had like 1,000 downloads and I was like, woo, wow, that's awesome. I think I'm killing it, but I don't know. I didn't have anything to compare it to, you know? So I felt like that was a lot.
Yeah.
And there's that, that page called toppodcast.com where they kind of rate you. And when you first come out, you know, your algorithm goes up crazy. And like within a couple, like a month, I was like number four. And I was like, oh my God, I'm number four. And then, you know, as you keep going week by week and maybe people don't come back and people just, I'm falling down the chart and I dropped out of the top 200. And I'm like, oh, I suck. Everybody hates me. Yeah. I was all the way up there and then I'm all the way down here. But I also realized I emailed everybody, sent out a big launch, mm-hmm. and like shot me up for a second, and then boom, here I'm down here now.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm a failure.
Yeah. So how big was your email list when you were launching?
I just sent out probably 4,000 or 5,000 emails and okay. said, hey, I'm doing this podcast, you know, tune in. So my numbers kind of shot right up like real quick mm-hmm. and then, you know, down, because now you've got people that have to subscribe and they have to start getting back on. They have to start yeah. listening. And so that kind of like crushed my soul a little bit. I was yeah. like, whoa, look at that. I'm so far up in the charts. And then like, I'm off the chart completely. I don't know what yeah. happened. I must suck. So I had a lot of insecurity.
Did you continue to use email then to like each time you released an episode and it just got less and less effective? Or was it pretty much just, hey, this is here. If you want to follow, you know, go now. And then you didn't talk about it in email again?
I didn't want to email my list like every single, I'm one of these people that doesn't like to beat up my email list. Mm. Like I subscribe to people that send you like 4 emails a day. And you know, within a week or two, I unsubscribe because I hate that. I feel yeah. like they're literally like raping their list. And so I did not want to do that.
Yeah.
So I just kept putting them out. And then I would always ask at the end of every podcast, and I still do today, if you learned one single thing or you laughed or you had a good time, please subscribe, give me 5 stars, give me some ratings. I can't be number one without you. I need you to help us, you know? So yeah. I started asking my podcast audience, and then I started running some ads on Facebook. It's like a new okay. podcast to come out, and I put a little link of what it's about, and you know, spend like, you know, $20 on an ad. So I started yeah. running some ads on Facebook. And now I have some ads on Instagram, ads on Facebook. And now I do actually email my list when I each week when I have a new episode come out.
Okay.
But not every week, because I do a lot of webinars and I just don't want my list to be like beat to death, you know, from that. Mm-hmm. And I mostly just really tell people like if you had fun, if you laughed, if you learned one thing, just anything. Yeah. I just want you to go and give me a rating and write a review and mm-hmm. just let me know that, you know, that you're in this with me. And yeah. then my numbers just start growing and growing and little by little by little. And now I'm cracking 100,000, like probably this week. And I even asked you, I was like, well, I don't even know if that's good. And you're like, oh, no, you're about 15%. I'm like, really? Okay, I can take that because I don't have anyone to compare it to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about podcasting stats is they're so, like, non-transparent with everything that yeah, it's hard to understand people, where you're at.
Yeah, I have people that tell me, oh, I have 250 downloads every single solitary week. But then they bitch about how they're, like, barely eking by. And I'm like, well, if I had 250 downloads a week, I'd be over the moon, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So I just don't know.
Yeah. So where are you at right now then for like downloads per episode or per month?
You know, I guess I should have looked at all those numbers before I got on the call with you. I don't know. I think each one of my episodes, I've had as many as like 1500 per episode. I put out 10 episodes a month now. Okay. So I started off just doing every Tuesday, you know, it's the most wonderful real estate podcast ever. Every Tuesday teaching real estate. And then I started noticing everybody interviews people. So yeah. I only started interviewing people this month of March. Okay. I never interviewed her. I just like, I get on there and I think I'm great. So I'm just like, I'm going to teach you what I know. And I have fun and I got a fun background. And so yeah. I have never had a guest. So I thought, okay, well, everybody's having me on their show. And then I'm finding out a lot of the shows only have guests. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I should incorporate that.
Yeah.
And so now, and then my husband, he also is a real estate investor, and he's really strong on like scripts and how to talk to homeowners and banks and the things that people in real estate investing are afraid of. It's kind of his strong point. So I started doing a little 15-minute called Investing on the Go. So Bill's like, okay, you're in your car, you're driving for dollars, and you see this, here's what you do. Just a real quick little thing. And then God started putting it on my heart to put out a Bible study. So every other Sunday, I do a business by the book. So we take what the Bible says about how to run a business, treat your employees. And so I did that.
Sweet.
So now, this month of March, that puts me at 10 episodes a month because I have two business by the books. Every Tuesday, those four Tuesdays is wonderful of just me. Every other Thursday is Inside the Minds of Today's Millionaires, and I'm interviewing other people, and not even in real estate, any genre, just people who are successful that will share their climb to success in the most detailed and personal way. And then I have two Saturdays with my husband. So it gives us 10 a month now, starting this month. So I'm curious to see, like, 3 months from today, where my numbers will go.
Sure.
Because before it's just been Tuesdays.
Okay.
That's only 30 minutes.
Yeah. So if I'm hearing you right, the first couple months you said you had like 1,000 downloads and you were, you know, ecstatic about that. Now it sounds like you're getting about 1,500, you know, per episode. Or was that per month?
No, episode.
Okay.
But so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I look at my numbers and, you know, they first come out and I'll see like, you know, 25. And then I'll look the next day and it'll be like 200. And then I'll look the next day and it'll be like 600. And I'm like, hey, okay. So I don't know that people are clearly tuning in every Tuesday exactly at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
But they're listening.
They have a routine of when they listen to your podcast.
My numbers are growing. My numbers, so I don't hit a bunch of numbers on the day it releases. It's more like over the next 7 days, those numbers will climb pretty solid.
Yeah.
So I'm like, come on, guys, tune in Tuesday at exactly 3 o'clock. You know, people are working. And people
they have lives too, you know.
They have lives. And, you know, and we start the podcast off, we have drinks with Dwan. So I'm like, hey, cheers, let's all have a glass of wine. And you know, I realize not everybody can sit down at 3 o'clock on Tuesday and, you know, have a glass of wine either. So.
So when was it, or how long into the podcast where you're like, I just realized that I made money from this.
Okay. So, I started making some sales off of my home study courses, my programs. Cause I send everyone to my website. I say, hey, go to dwonderful.com and look at the store. And I've got programs on short sales and wholesaling and fixing and flipping. And so I just always tell people at the end of every show, just go to dwonderful.com. So I started just getting like a random sale here and there. And I was not running any kind of a webinar or running any kind of a promotion. And I was like, I thought, oh my God, that must've come from the podcast. And my programs are $9.97. There's $1,000. So all of a sudden I'm getting,
and that's like a course type of.
Yeah. So it's like a full real estate investing, A to Z, home study, boot camp calls, a little bit of mentoring. And so maybe maybe the third month, I got like a $9.97 just randomly one. It was on a Tuesday though. I thought, I think that's a podcast sale because I'm not running any specials at all.
Yeah.
And then I started noticing every several days there would a sale would pop in. I was like, okay, so people are going over there and they are looking at my sales page and they're listening and they're thinking, okay, well, I like her. I like her style. I'm going to invest in a couple of her programs. And so then I was going along for about maybe 8 months or so. And somebody called up and they called. They found me and they called me. And they said, I want to buy your apprentice training. Well, my apprentice training is $30,000. And just like that, we had a conversation for 10 minutes. And they spent $30,000 and they bought me apprentice training. And I was I cannot believe I just want my apprentice training off of a podcast. How is that possible?
So
I was like out of my mind.
Yeah. So they spent 10 minutes with you on the phone and purchased a $30,000 product.
So they have listened to all my podcasts. It's a family, Kenny and his wife, and they have three kids. And they want to work this as a, like my family, like we have me, my husband and my three kids, and we all work in the real estate investing industry. My kids are in rentals, you know. And Kenny and his wife have three kids, but they're all in high school. So they want their kids to become real estate investors opposed to going to college. So I guess they found me and they found my Facebook page, and then they went and listened to all of my shows, all of them up to that point, and called and said, listen, we heard you talk about your apprentice students. We want to do that. How much is it? So I told them, like, okay, we want to do it. And I was thinking, like, that, like, you know, and they're like, no, we've been listening and learning, and we want to do it. And so that for that training, we actually, my husband flies to their house and works with them for 2 days, like really one-on-one, takes them out in the field and like hammers real estate into their brain. And then they get a year of coaching, and the family sits around at night and they listen to podcasts and they read our programs and they do it as a family. So I was like, okay, so I can sell an apprentice training off a podcast.
That's so cool.
I never even occurred. It never, honestly, God, Jason, never even occurred to me someone would spend that kind of money without meeting me or being at a 2 or 3 day workshop and getting to know me. So it stunned me.
And has that happened again since then?
Yes, it has. So a few others. And then I just started noticing more and more of these 997 sales. And I'm like, gosh, people are there listening. And I'm sure that, I mean, they could be listening to just one and doing it, because some people just like to buy anything. You know, those seminar junkies will buy it, every seminar in the world, and never open, crack the first book. but my database started growing of people going to my website and opting in. So my database grew by like 10 or 15,000 people. And I thought, well, they have to be coming from the podcast. So, you know, I'm not at that moment. I wasn't like promoting anything real specific. And then I do one webinar a month for a decade. I've been doing one webinar a month. And then I started noticing my webinar sales are getting higher. And I'm like, it has to be from the podcasting as well. So, but I didn't start the podcasting off to make money on the people. I just wanted a new, fun, exciting project that was just mine. And because my husband and I work together, I work with my kids. I just want something like for Dwan. For me, something fun. I could just be crazy and funny and have a drink and curse a little bit and get everybody and just, oh, real estate's so great. She's so wonderful. And then the money started coming in. So my initial,
but you gotta show you though, like they got to see Dwan behind, you know, Dwan.
And I get on some days and I'm in, like, I don't have any makeup on, my hair's in, I've been working out. And I'm just like drinking one of my drinks. I'm like, okay, it's time to pod, you know, here we are. And so it was not initially to make money, but I assumed, just with my experience in business, if people liked it and they opted into my site, people would buy things. So now I'm 2 years in right now, and I'm just now, like, I'm looking with some people to start getting some merchandise and having, you know, some little fun things. And because I've had people say, hey, you need to have some merch. I'm like, okay, I guess I do. But now that's, I don't know anything about that. And I'm like, now I'm learning a whole new thing to add to the show. So every single thing for me has been a gigantic learning curve. I'm not like some millennial that just whips out and bought a soundboard and a microphone and knew how to do it all. It's been a tremendous learning curve for me.
So the 997 sales, were they coming like from day one when you started? Was that like when they started, you know, noticing that?
About the second or third month.
Okay. And so it was like just 90 days.
Thirdwonderful.com. Check out. If you like anything, check out my products. Like, that's all I say. I don't like, I hate to say this, but a lot of podcasts I listen to have so many commercials and they're so pitchy. And I always tell people, like, this is the no pitch zone. I hate being pitched. I don't like listening to something and at the end people try to sell me something. It's like, I feel a fit. It's like, if you want to sell me something, tell me in the beginning, hey, at the end of this, I want to sell you something, so I know because I'm listening and I'm into it, and all of a sudden it turns into a pitch, I personally feel offended.
Yeah.
And that's just me. It's like, you know, I hate that. So at the end of my, I have just a little, I have a page that has like, you know, give my intro, my quick story. Don't forget to tell them they get a couple free, like, you know, just so I make sure I don't miss something. And I literally just say, like, go to duanfo.com. I have a bunch of great real estate investing programs. If you're, you know, into that, check it out. Like,
yeah,
2 sentences.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it started like a few sales and a few sales and a few sales. And I was like, which was a happy surprise for me, because I didn't really know enough about podcasting to even know or think that people would buy things.
For sure.
And I know nothing about merchandise. So now I'm talking to this guy. I'm like, oh, for the love of God, just like, make stuff for me and put it out there somewhere. Just don't make me do this. I don't know how to do this.
So we're getting towards the end of our time here, but I want to wrap up with, if you could estimate, and I know this is, you know, because it's hard to attribute, you know, directly to a podcast sometimes, but if you could estimate how much money since day one to now that you've made from the podcast, what would your estimate
be? For the things where I see like a $9.97 coming on a Tuesday, and I'm running no webinars, I've got no ads running, I've got nothing like that, I would say I'm somewhere between like $150,000 and $200,000.
Okay, so I'm in that range. Over the 2 years.
Yeah, so I'm in that range. But from the people that opt into Duwonderful and then get on a webinar and then they purchase, I don't know.
For sure. Yeah, that's hard to tell.
I can attribute about almost 200,000 from people buying products. And I'm like, well, they have to come from the podcast because they're just randomly coming out of the middle of nowhere. You know, and unless they just found my website and go, hey, I don't know nothing about her, I'll just buy something straight off the website, which people don't do. No one's going to drop $1,000 without knowing something.
Yeah.
About
for you. Sure. Yeah, well, you have a great story of somebody who started, you know, with a bunch of experience, you know. So somebody, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I could start a podcast and make 200 grand in 2 years, you know, there's some give and take there, because Duan started with, you know, this kind of these courses that she already had made. She already had expertise in the field and all this kind of status as well. But it's definitely a great story of how you started this podcast to do something fun and then ended up being, you know, a great moneymaker for you.
Good? You interview people all the time. Like, where am I ranking in the throes of other people with the money and the numbers? And am I like up here or like down here in the dumps?
Well, it depends on how you rank it. I mean, because you could do like a median of everybody making money, and then it becomes, you know, a lot different than say an average, because you have, you know, the Joe Rogans of the world that are, you know, get a $30 million deal with Spotify. But the main thing is like, are you having fun doing it? Are you making a living doing it? And like, is it, are you doing the parts that you like and not the parts that you don't like? You know, so if you can make enough money doing a podcast and you hate the editing, to outsource the editing, and maybe it just, you know, brings you joy to do the podcast. I mean, that would be great for some people. I'm not here to status, you know, people like,
oh, no. I just a lot of people. So I feel like for myself, I feel like I'm doing well. Now I don't edit mine. I just start off, I record it. And if I burp or sneeze or drink a snort out of my nose, I don't do any editing. So I was like, I realized from the beginning to enjoy the podcast, I can't get caught up in all those little detailed things like that, because I'm not a detail. I'm like, you know, how some people are like big thinker people and some people are detail people. I'm not a detail person. So from day one, I decided I'm not going to edit. So if I blurt something out, I wish I wouldn't have said, I'm just like, oh, well. And and I one time it was my birthday. So we all did like a shot of tequila and I started coughing and like came out right out of my nose. And I was like, so I don't edit.
Yeah.
I just, whatever it is, I put the music on the front, the music on the back, and out it goes.
Awesome. Awesome.
But well, I'm having fun. And, you know, I guess if I could just give one piece of advice to people, because I'm in a couple Facebook podcast groups, and I see, and everyone is, and I see people say, I'm afraid, we have no listens, And I felt the exact same way, even with all my giant background, because a podcast is a completely different genre. It's not a seminar. It's not a live event. It's not being interviewed. It's a podcast. It's different. And for all the people that I see doing that, I'm like, you know what? Just start. And as long as you have fun, I think all the rest of it comes.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to make money, and it came, and I was like, hey, well, that's a really great thing. But even if I wasn't, that wouldn't stop me. Because it's fun for me. But if people are really nervous and they're too critical of themselves and they're doing it and they, the drudgery, like you said, they don't want editing or whatever. If you can't like pass out or pass on the things you don't like, I think the whole thing becomes a task.
Yeah.
Instead 100%. Of like, whoop, whoop, I'm on a podcast today.
Yeah.
You know what awesome. I mean?
Yeah, totally agree. So Dwan, if somebody wants to, you know, learn more about you and real estate investing, let us know where, what social channels to follow you on, or where we can.
Well, they can go to dwanderful.com, or they can find me on Instagram and Facebook at dwanderful. And I just got with the program and started a TikTok.
Okay.
Like two weeks ago.
TikTok at dwanderful.
Dwantastic.
Fantastic.
I have like four TikTok videos. My daughter's like, listen, you gotta do TikTok. I'm like, oh my god, another learning curve. I'm finding out that all the things that are so easy for your generation are so difficult for mine.
Yeah, I wouldn't say TikTok's easy for me. Is it going well for you, or
I've got the people following me and people writing funny comments. So I come on, I'm like, hey, I'm Dwan, your cool real estate investing mom, and I give out some real estate tips. I say, stay tuned for more real estate investing facts. And yeah, it's going good. People are listening. People are subscribing. My daughter has thankfully edited everything for me thus far, but she's like, you're going to have to learn how to edit. And I'm like, okay.
Outsource it.
I outsource my show notes. I outsource my editing. I mean, I even have something that like puts it up on the internet, but I outsource everything because those are the things that, and I'm sure they're not daunting if you know them, but for me, it takes the fun out of it if I have to spend a bunch of time afterwards doing all these little things. So I do the 100%. Podcast, I make it fun, I say it, send the air and go, okay, there you go. Put it out, do whatever you're supposed to do. I got to get over here, run some ads, send some emails. I just want to have fun.
Awesome.
I think make it fun.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show, Dwan. It's great to have you.
Thanks, James. And thank you, guys. And don't be afraid. Just do it. I started at 60. So if I can start in, like, you know, a later chapter of my life, all these people that are younger that are terrified, just do it.
Awesome.
Do you want your audio quality to stand out from the crowd? The secret sauce comes down to the mastering process. Mastering your audio can make your podcast stand out and be easy on the ears, but it can also be oftentimes confusing and time consuming. But it doesn't have to be. I use a tool called Remaster Media to make the mastering process quick and easy. And you can hear the difference. So right now I am talking without any mastering to my track. But here is what I sound with the remastered plugin. Again, without remastering right now, they have multiple profiles to choose from. So no matter the voice or music mix, you can find something that makes you proud of your audio. Now again, I'm back on remastered. So I encourage you to check them out and see the difference between how you sound with or without them. They have a plugin for your current editing software or a web application for those who want to try before they buy.